Aren't you impressed with our young people in the congregation, my friends? I know that I truly am. Yeah. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, watch over us now, we pray, and help us to go deeper into these texts of Isaiah. Help us to have more of an awareness and a sharpened understanding of how your Holy Spirit desires to lead us. Help us, Lord, to be sorry for our own sins and to come to that place of repentance, Lord, which is a prerequisite and necessary for us to receive your joy. And so, fill not only our hearts but our lives with joy, no matter what age we are, no matter what station we find our lives in. Heavenly Father, come to us now through your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Children whom we are extolling this month have an effusive and contagious sense of joyfulness, and joy rejuvenates us, it re-energizes us. And the week before Christmas is when most of us need some rejuvenation. Can I get some amen? Amen. Amen. When children open their gifts on Christmas morning, they aren't just happy, they are joyful. What's the difference? Well, you've seen it, and I've seen it. There is a sense for that child where they believe that the gift is somehow completing their lives. And what we see on Christmas morning is the reaction to that belief. Now, of course, a child cannot articulate this feeling. It's just something that we observe in their tiny faces, in their smiles, and in their jumping up and down on Christmas Day. It's a deep down sense of, now that I have this gift, life is good. Have you ever felt that way? I've got what I asked for, and I'm feeling good about that. I remember this feeling for myself when I was about 7 years old. On my wish list that Christmas was one of those chopper bicycles with the extended handlebars and the long plastic banana seat with the sparkles in the plastic of the banana seat. And oh yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, that was like right on the top of my Christmas list for sure. And oh, there was that grab bar on the back of the banana seat. Remember that? Yes. So that you and your best friend could get on and you could ride together. Yeah. Now this beauty, I'm telling you, it was the Harley Davidson for any 7-year-old boy. That's what we longed for. And my favorite color was green. And living my life beyond Christmas Day without having this green chopper bike with a long plastic banana seat with the sparkles in it, that was just not going to be possible. I wasn't going to make it to December the 26th without this at all. Where I lived then was in Catskill, New York. Now, this was for the most part a more rural area with these long, hilly country roads, perfectly designed for green chopper bikes with extended handlebars and the long banana seat, you know? So I was very, very fortunate when on Christmas Day, 1960, I got to Christmas Day, and there under the tree was my ride. Oh, yeah. Jumping up and down. I was beyond happy. I was joyful, and I was rejuvenated. Now, those long, hilly country roads, now they could finally be taken on and conquered. Now, if it's at all even possible to believe, but having that bike on Christmas Day, it completed my little 7-year-old life. And somewhere, perhaps it is lost to the sands of time. I know I have seen it on one or two occasions. There is a 1960s faded, discolored photograph of this skinny little kid with blonde hair sitting high atop his green little chopper bike with his toes just barely touching the ground, with a smile on his face as wide as the state of Kansas. Yeah? That was my little Harley. When we first receive such a gift, we are joyful because we feel that the gift not only completes and rejuvenates us, but it transforms us too. And my contention is that one cannot be transformed unless they are rejuvenated. I was no longer Dan Meister. No. I was Dan Meister, the conqueror of all rural roads within a 1 mile radius of my house. I was changed and transformed forever. And I was quite certain at that time in my life that my little green chopper bike with the long extended handlebars and the green plastic banana seat with the sparkles in it, that it could go at least 70 miles an hour. I was convinced of it. Yeah? Certain. And lest I induce panic in the many younger parents of the congregation this morning, this was the time that little boys could rip up those country roads on their choppers without wearing any helmets, gloves, or knee pads. If you went down, you just went down, and you dealt with the consequences. That was it, yeah? Now, this bike, it transformed me. Why? Because it filled my heart with joy. Christmas, then, is the one event of the calendar year when children seek to be changed and transformed. Now, normally, unruly and unrepentant children are turned into paragons of perfect behavior, displaying kind and thoughtful manners at every turn on the run-up to Christmas, yeah? And what about we who are now adults? Do we still come to Christmas seeking to be changed and transformed, rejuvenated even by the joy of what we are about to experience? Do we? For children, this transformation is brought on by a simple gift that is pined over and wished for the whole year long. Now, the prophet Isaiah, in two profound Advent passages, we kind of collapse them together as one this morning, likewise speaks of such transformational joy. The first is the transformation that will take place in all of creation. Isaiah writes, the desert and the parched land, which normally are barren without any life, Isaiah says, they will be glad. The wilderness, which is not a place that you want to go, will rejoice and blossom. Who has ever found blossoms in the wilderness? It's a contradiction. We don't. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy when it is transformed. And so I ask of you a question. Who was more glad that Christmas morning in 1916? Me? As a 7-year-old little boy, or the happy hills surrounding our humble home that were going to have me with wind streaming through my hair? That's when I had hair, yeah? Riding upon them. A certain joyfulness within creation. Isaiah would say that both the creature and the created can equally share in being joyful, in being rejuvenated. For the hills are meant to be hiked and explored and ridden upon. At Christmas, we celebrate, as at no other time of the year, how creation, humanity, and the heavenly bodies above all have a shot at redemption and transformation. Now, perhaps no one has discussed this with you before, but the coming of Christ not only redeems and transforms men and women and children, but it redeems the entire created order. And that's worth, as Isaiah says, shouting about, yeah? Do we have that joy that we can shout about? Do we? And so it is, as Isaiah rightly points out, the unclean and the wicked fools who have been and always are the ones who believe that such transformation of life is impossible. Those are the fools. Those are the wicked ones. And we still have these unclean, wicked ones with us still yet today. You know who they are. You rub shoulders with them every day. They are constantly upon radio and television and the internet, yes? The fools who say that transformation is impossible. The ones who say, well, I guess this is it. I guess this is as good as it gets in life, you know, when all along we know that the longing of every child is just completely opposite from that. No, this is not as good as it gets. There is something that can happen on this day that can and does change my life forever and make me better, more refined, and a more civil human being. The change, the rejuvenation that the prophet Isaiah speaks of is not a change that is all over and done with once Dad gets out the green plastic lawn bag and starts picking up all of the Christmas wrappings off of the living room floor. It's not all done then. No, 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 no. This is an everlasting joy. This transformation, this coming of the Messiah, this Christ child born in Bethlehem is going to be a change that lasts forever and ever and ever. Just as it is sung in Handel's Messiah, King of Kings, forever and ever and ever. And I pray that you get to know him. And Lord of Lords, forever and ever, I want me a piece of forever, my friends, don't you? And this is the time of the year that we say yes to it and welcome it in so it transforms and rejuvenates our lives forever and ever. We know that the transformation is complete and has perfectly accomplished its purposes, where Isaiah proclaims, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's the day. You see, because you heard me share with the children this morning, that in this life we all lose things, don't we? Whatever those things might be. But no one can take your joy. No one can take that. That lasts forever and ever and ever. On Christmas Day, you and I have the opportunity to long for that gift that will change our lives forever. But will we accept it? Will we accept him? And that joy that he promised to us, that he says, if I give this to you, nobody can take it away from you. Not the miserable family member, not the manipulative administrator on Wall Street, not the political pundits. No one can take your joy from you. His name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel. He rejuvenates us forever, and he brings us his joy. Amen.